I'm Izzy Rock, host of Tales from the Hard Side podcast, and you're listening to the Bad Parenting Podcast. Go rate, review, and subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher.
Knowledge.
Diabetes.
Fucking pussy babies need to toughen the fuck up.
Of course, devil stopped.
I do like that.
Oh my fucking god, I shit myself.
Was I supposed to do show prep?
This could be a while.
Tough face smash.
Bad Parenting Podcast. We're all up in your mom.
I always swore I'd never beat my children.
I'm drinking some milk with cheese.
We had gourmet cheese.
No, I know why. Nothing ever gets done in Hollywood.
Oh, awesome.
If only you could see the glare.
Hey, I'm Justin. No, that doesn't work either.
Oh my god, the smell. I hope you're ready for a clusterfuck of epic proportions.
Love your children while keeping your sanity. This is the Bad Parenting Podcast.
Yes, welcome to episode 76 of Bad Parenting Podcast. I'm Justin.
I'm Jody.
And we're here.
And it's Sunday.
Sunday. Gotta go back to work on Monday. It's the end of the weekend. I was trying to do a Friday song. It didn't work. No, not so much, huh?
Yeah, okay. It's Sunday, which we normally record on Saturday when the world is working right.
Right. And the world is working just fine this weekend. You just decided to get all shitty at the bar last night, so.
Yeah, I got white girl wasted.
Yeah, you did. I haven't seen you that messed up in quite some time.
Since our New Year's Eve party when I got...
I still contend that
there were big chunks of that night missing.
I understand. You may have blacked out on that one, but the way you were acting, the way you were, you didn't seem nearly as drunk that night as you did last night. Ah. Maybe it's just the difference between like a tequila drunk and not tequila drunk. So... Yeah, don't ever go to Mexico by yourself because you'll end up, bra off on the beach and going to town. We're tired. We were up really late last night, and the kids.
This is so not working for me. Hold on. Okay. That
we're giving the new I cannot talk tonight.
No, you can't.
The new mobile setup.
You know, that's kind of a problem when you
Do this for...
Do the podcasting
Not for a living, but do this...
For a hobby.
Yeah, do the talking thing.
Yeah, talking is important.
Yeah, so we're trying the new mobile setup that I just got going here. We're actually out in the living room where it's all comfy and whatnot.
I'm just trying to get the... Because when I'm looking at you, it's like got that camera one, camera two
camera
thing
one,
going on.
Camera two. Yeah.
It's better now.
Once I have the rest of the extension cables I need... I won't be sitting in this weird spot where I'm kind of like just out here in the middle of the island by myself, like do. But I've only got about a 6-foot range in this cable, if that, which doesn't get me very far. So
true.
So how was your week, babe?
Awesome.
Why?
I don't remember this week. What happened this week?
I don't know. So
I don't know.
Seems to be the usual few.
I had clients. We did things. We looked at houses. Mm-hmm. It was good in that respect, I guess.
Yeah.
Nobody died.
That's a plus.
That's a plus.
Yeah. So, today was kind of hectic, as I get a call from my dad's back in town yesterday, and come on over. He was like, come over whenever you guys have time.
Right.
And I'm like, and I was there thinking, sweet, no problem. We'll do it later on the week. In fact, I was thinking next Saturday. And then I'm like, wait a tick. No, Ezra's at his mom's until Saturday.
Yep.
Okay, well,
Then
he's going to... his summer camp on Sunday, and then I find out my dad's flying out on Saturday too, so there's no way next Saturday is going to work. I'm like, well, shit, we don't have time during the week to drive all the way out here and all the way back, so we had to do it today. So I'm like, okay, we're just going to cram it all in there.
Well, and he neglected to mention that he had bought a computer and wanted you to get it completely set up from the scratch for him, which is fine. And I realized after I left how bitchy I was when I was there.
Yeah.
And I felt bad because... What happened is we took two separate cars,
mm-hmm.
you ended up being pretty ensconced in the downstairs mm-hmm. helping with the computer stuff, and our kids were kind of running amok.
Mm-hmm.
And I had that brain overload thing that happens to me every now and again where I'm like, I'm not in a comfortable place. I'm not in a, you know, everything is wrong. Yeah. You know, like.
Nothing's right.
And so I just like, I zerked and I was like, I'm leaving now. I'm taking Trent and I'm leaving. Goodbye. And I just like ran out the door. So then I felt really bad. But.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and Dad talked to me about it too. He's like, she just seemed like to freak out about, and he, and I'm like, no, she's fine. It's just, it's been, she's tired. So he was just making sure you were okay. He's like, yeah, because it kind of, and he was just kind of like, I don't know. I'm like, don't worry about it. She's tired. It'll be fine. No worries. You know, everything's good. So, yeah, it was a busy weekend. Oh, not to mention the fact, so Friday, I go to lunch with my coworker slash supervisor, and I'm like, hey, look, it's fucking dead today. I've got a company car, and I've got maintenance I have to do on it. So I'm like, I need to go get the tires rotated, gotta do this. I figure I'm gonna head out to Les Schwab's, which for those of you who aren't local, it's a local tire chain shop out here that does, you know, pretty decent work. And I'm like, so I'm gonna get the tires rotated. They have free Wi-Fi there, so I'll hook up to the Wi-Fi, do some work there. I have my cell phone on me if people need to call, whatever they can. Boom, 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 get done. He's like, yeah, sure, no problem. I'm like, all right, cool. So I get to Les Schwab, get the keys turned in, get the laptop turned on, get on, answer like two emails, and it was the deadest I've ever seen them. He's like, who's got the Tacoma? I'm like, that's me. He's like, oh, you're done. Literally, I was there for less than 5 minutes. I'm like, that never happens. So I disconnect from the Wi-Fi and shut everything down, get going, head home, get in here, get everything set up. I'm like, okay, great. I'm going to get working again. Get up there, get going, and all of a sudden my laptop power's off. I'm like, strange. And I look, like, he has the chargers plugged in. It's showing it's charging. All right, turn it back on. It boots back up. Get it back into Windows. As soon as I get logged in the desktop, boom, it powers off. And I'm not like a proper let's shut down Windows power off, but like it fucking thing just cuts. And I'm like, what is this? I'm like, okay. And this is a work laptop too. I'm like, fuck, because my counterpart's on vacation next week, so I don't have any backup. So I have to have a working machine. So I fire it up again and run some tests, and damn thing won't turn on. So I sent a notification to my IT group, but hey, just, you know, by the way, I'm going to need something because this thing's fucked. And if you want, since I'm still partially IT in some respects, I'm like, I'll do whatever work this weekend so that way it's not dropped in your lap on Monday, especially since this next week I'm only going to be in the office for 3 days. And then on Thursday and Friday, I'm out and about visiting customers and whatnot. Right, and you're like, okay. She's like, okay, what's wrong with that? It's powering off. I figured, you know, I had been having problems with it for a while, so I figured it was just a software issue and I just needed to do a reinstall and whatnot. And had I been in a better frame of mind, I would have known that, no, that's not the case, because that's not what a normal software issue is. As it turns out, the cooling fan died, and so it was shutting itself off to prevent catching fire, basically, mm-hmm. overheating and catching fire. So I'm like, I contacted her again. I'm like, hey, look, just so you know, it's not like, oh, we can just format this and reinstall the software. We're going to be fine. It's good. You got to get me a new laptop. She's like, well, we don't have any laptops. I'm like, well, we're going to have to come up with one. And I was kind of dickish to her because I was stressed out already because everything else. Plus, the washer had apparently shit out.
I forgot about the washer flooding the freaking laundry room.
So, as it turns out, it is possible for a high-efficiency front-load washer to suck a sock in to the drain pump and then plug up. I don't know how those little itty bitty drain holes it has, did it count one of your socks pulled through?
It was, I thought it was one of Ezra's.
No, we looked at it. It was actually one of yours.
Which one was
it? I don't remember.
I'm just curious because I've been missing a particular sock for a really long time.
It was a white one, so.
Was that a Nike one?
Might have been. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's
been there for a minute.
Yeah. Well, I put it through on a sanitary cycle. But I don't know how it would have sucked it in the first place, but it did.
Got me.
So I had to look up the error code first to figure out what the error code meant. So it was flashing F2D9, fuck you, bite me, eat shit. And I'm like, what the hell? And so go through the whole thing, figure it out. I'm like, okay, it says it's either the computer's dead. I'm like, no, I don't want a $600 computer. I'll just buy a new fucking washer. I'm like, or the pump is bad. I'm like, I looked that part up. It's like $150, $200. I'm like, no. It's like, or the pump filter is clogged. Maybe this has a pump filter. Where's this at? So I look up the schematics for the damn thing. I'm like, oh, there it is. And I have to pull the front of the washer apart, get on the pump filter. Then I'm looking at the inside of the washer. I'm like, ooh, I'm not even opening the door because I can see the water line above the door because it hasn't drained. I'm like, okay. And I'm looking down at the bottom, and this pump filter is conveniently located at the front of the washer on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no like hose attachment or thing you can put an adapt onto it to like drain it out. And so it's like you just got it. And this one guy recommended putting it up on a piece of wood and then drain it into a bucket. I'm like, I don't have a bucket big enough to catch all this water because it's plugged up. So I then lay out like all the dirty clothes we had, our dirty towels we had in the laundry room on the floor, plus some clean ones, pull it. And like that Austin Powers scene where he just keeps peeing. I'm like, there can't. I know it had a lot of water, but it can't possibly have this. Like, even with all the towels down, start creeping out into the halls. I'm throwing more towels down and stomping on it and laying on my clothes so I can sop up some more water. And so, get that all pulled apart. And then, yeah, there was some stuff that's probably been in there since like the day we bought the washer. It had a quarter, a hair tie, your sock, some of Max's fur, and we haven't even had Max in over 2 years. And then so that looks like it's probably some cat fur too, which we haven't had a cat in God knows how long. And it just this disgusting smell like that, just that like that raunchy, unwashed, just bleh. So get that whole thing out, and I hammer it out, get it cleaned out, put it all back together, and it's still throwing the error code. I'm like, oh fuck me. And then I'm like, well, maybe it was just because on that last cycle it still sensed that it was not, so I'm like, cross my fingers, run on another cycle. Error free. I'm like, woo! And then Ezra comes home. So, what was wrong with the washer? I'm like, oh, yeah, it had an error code. He's like, oh, the 5D one? And I'm like, so you've seen this error code throughout this week, but you haven't fucking mentioned it to anybody? Like, well, it was still working. I'm like, oh my God, you are your mom. I am going to kill you. It's like, she's like, oh, the oil light came on, but you're still driving it? Uh huh, it still ran. Oh my God, I'm going to kill you. It was that kind of shit. I'm just like, fuck me. No, if it's got an error code, you have to.
Well, and are we going to talk about Ezra?
Because thing. I'll let you dive into
kinda,
that one.
He's kind of on the shit list to begin with this week.
He's our personal bitch this week.
Well, all kids have sibling rivalry. All kids lie. All kids, but this like takes it to a whole new ratchet up. So
yeah,
there's this coin. I don't know where it came from exactly. I have some suspicions, but we're going to go with
Tempe.
Tempe found it at some point, and it's a coin. It's a big gold coin with a cheetah on it from a place fairly close to us called Wildlife Safari.
Yeah.
It's just a cheap, like, it's not gold. It's just a coin. It's just like a play.
It's a novelty.
Yeah.
It's a novelty like a coin.
She says she found it at her school, so it's special to her, blah, 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 blah. It's been floating around the house.
But I have to say, the reasoning she, which we'll get to here in a little bit, but don't let me forget about that. The reasoning she used for why she wanted to keep it was that, I'm like, that a six-year-old just, what? So, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so she's got this coin. It's been floating around the house for God knows how long. Months. At least 2 months. Most recently, I saw it on the washing machine.
Yeah.
So I come home on, what day was that, Tuesday? No, it was
it totally wrecked our, no, it was Tuesday because we totally forgot about Trent's cheer class.
No, it was Wednesday.
Oh, that would have been Wednesday.
Okay.
But yeah, so we totally forgot about his cheer classes. Yeah. We're embroiled in this.
Yeah.
Where the fuck is the coin? Who's lying debacle?
So I get home on Wednesday. Tempe goes, Ezra has my coin and he says it's his, and but it's really mine and he took it from me. I'm like, what coin? What are you talking about? And she's like, the one with the cheetah on. I'm like, oh, I know what you're talking about. I'm like, Ez, can you go get the coin? He's like, no, I found that at Campbell Park.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no, you didn't. Like, in my head, I'm like, that makes no sense.
Yeah.
He's like, no, I found that at Campbell Park. It's mine. I'm like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
And then he proceeds to tell this really convincing detailed story about how he found it.
Where he found it, you know, when he found it, yada, yada, yada.
Well, roughly, like, it's been a while kind of story. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's her, like, I'm pretty sure. But they are, like, both adamant, like,
that,
just.
The other person's lying.
That the other person is, not just that they're telling the truth, but that the other is lying.
Mm-hmm.
And Ezra gets really defensive. Tempe gets really defensive. There are tears. There's just all this frustration. We offer amnesty to anybody who's will just, you know, we realize you may have gotten a little bit, you know, embroiled in a bit of a lie here. Maybe you'd want to, you know, we're offering you a way out. No punishment. Just
get out of jail free card.
Fess up and we'll move on.
Somebody tell us who the fuck this was and then we'll forget about it from here on out. Yeah.
And 2 hours?
Almost three.
Almost 3 hours later.
Of all this back and forth. And we go as far as, we're trying to come up with different ways. Like, I know, and we get to the point where we start to chip away at it a little bit more. And we realize that Ezra's the one that's lying.
Yeah, I realized. Because
his story is changing and shifting as things go on. Because originally he made it sound to you like he'd had it forever.
Yeah.
And then the time frame he gives is that he found it the day that we went to get 9-volt batteries.
Which was only like two.
Well, it was Monday.
Yeah, it had only been like 2 days.
Yeah, so forever ago in two days. But he was like, no, I'm not. Like, she's the one who's lying. It's my point.
And he cried and was like, you guys never believe me. I never lie to you and you never believe me. And I'm like, okay.
And so I got to the point where I lost my parental shit. And I'm like, that's it. Fine. Fuck it. Here's the deal. And I separated out my, boom. I sent Temperance upstairs. My Temperance to get your ass upstairs. So she was up there. I'm like, Ezra, here's what's going to happen. I know who's, all right, I'm pretty damn sure I know who's lying, and I'm going to find out who's lying. I am a pit bull now. I am not fucking giving this up. I am going to figure out who the fuck is lying, and when I do, that person is in for a world of shit. But since you're both holding true to this, you're both going to get punished equally, and you're both going to lose out. So, you had summer camp. And he's like, no, I have. I'm like, no, you had summer camp. Assuming that nobody tells the truth before bed tonight. And then we figure out who it is. Summer camp's off the chart.
Yeah, you put a time limit on it.
Yeah.
Summer camp for Ezra and Tempe's birthday party.
Well, and then also for Ezra, an entire summer without electronics.
Right.
Just to kind of make it really worth it for him to come clean.
And then you threatened to throw the coin in the garbage.
Well, that came at a little later point. So yeah. I'm like, so here's the deal. And then I'm like, Temperance, you're going to lose your birthday party if the truth doesn't come out tonight. We have till bedtime. And she's like, I really don't want to lose my birthday party. I'm like, I know you don't. I know you don't. I really know you don't. And I don't want you to lose your birthday party, which is why I need somebody to come and tell me the truth. But I'm not going to play this bullshit game of he said, she said, back and forth, blah, 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 with you guys lying to us about it. And so what seems to be so easily lying about it. So. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and you're both giving up the coin. And I'm like, nobody gets the coin because I'm not sure who the rightful owner is. No one gets the coin. And so I'm stepping, and so here's the deal. There's two ways it's going to happen right now. I'm going to keep the coin, but only if you guys tell me who's lying. Or one of you comes clean and tells me the truth. And they're both like, oh, she's lying. No, he's lying. And they're holding to it. I'm like, fuck it, I'm done. And I'm like, that's it. I'm going to start walking towards the trash can. And I start inching closer and closer to the trash can.
And Tempe's just freaking out.
When I get to the trash can and my hand gets into the trash can, I'm dropping the coin in there. And then nobody fucking gets it, including me, which means no one will ever see it again. It's going in the garbage. And the minute that thing hits that fucking bound in that trash can, no summer camp, blah, 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 no birthday for you. And they were both pretty, freaking out. And then Tempe was a little more amped up.
Oh, definitely.
Than Ezra was. And she's like, no, I don't want to give it away. I want to keep it. She's like, I'm the one who is lying. I'm the one. I'm like, why are you, you were the one lying the whole time? She's like, well, no, but I don't want to lose the coin.
It was so cute.
She was willing to throw herself under the bus to
save
this coin. I'm like, why does this coin? I'm like, it's a fucking hunk of metal. What's so important about it? And then it's when she busts out the whole, well, I found it at school. And if I don't have that, I won't have my sentimental memories of kindergarten, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, did you just bust out sentimental memories on me? I'm like, you're fucking six.
I'm not always going to go to that school when I go to middle school, and I won't go to that school, and I don't need it for my memories.
And I'll look back at the coin and remember what a great time I had in kindergarten, and it's just like this long, drawn out, something you'd expect, like a 24-year-old to come out with, and you're just like, what? And
the whole time, just stoic.
Yeah, Ezra's just being stoic and holding true, like, no, she's lying, I'm not lying, and why can't you guys believe me, and crying, and blah, 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 blah.
Finally, Tempe went up to bed, like, just to get her to calm down.
Yeah, because she was so distraught. I'm like, okay, we need to just, we're not getting anywhere. We need to table this. We'll shelve it.
Yeah.
I said, but because it is bedtime, the whole thing, you guys are losing out on this. Yeah.
And Tempe went up to her bed.
And I went up there and did my usual sit in the recliner with him thing.
I sat down here with Ez.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sat for a long time. I just sat here, like, kind of shaking my head, not talking, like. And
so disappointed in you.
Yeah.
So very disappointed in you guys. Yeah.
And eventually I looked at him. I'm like, you realize that we're not letting this go.
Right.
This is not like after tonight, everything will be forgotten. Like tomorrow, when I can confirm the things that I already am pretty sure about,
mm-hmm.
we're going to know exactly what happened.
And it's going to be a
shitstorm. And it's going to go from, oh, I'm in trouble, to, oh my God, I'm never leaving my room again, you know? And, you know, just basically kind of reiterating that now would be the time to come forward.
And come clean, yeah.
And come clean, and blah, 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 blah. And he just starts bawling, just out of, like, he went from zero to, like,
yeah.
It was me, I'm lying, I didn't find it at the park.
Yeah, he finally couldn't hang
it off the washing machine.
Yeah, couldn't hang anymore, and so you text me, I'm up there, is she asleep yet? I'm like, yeah, oh no, she's still awake. I'm like, no, she's asleep, but she's been doing that whole thing in her sleep, because she's still so distraught, but she fell asleep all upset, and he cracked, and at that point, I saw red.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you noticed or not, I didn't come down right away.
I know.
Because I was up there, I'm like, if I go down there right now, he's going to end up against that wall, and that wall, and the floor, and out in the front yard, and I'm just going to pummel his ass, because it's what... Frankly, it's what he deserves, but it's not what you should do to a child. So right. I'm up there like, Usa. Have my moment of zen. Like, I'm just going to calm down so I don't kill him. I can't kill him. If I kill him, it's bad. But he needs to die. No, but killing's bad. And I'm like, this mantra in my head, like, no, don't kill him. Don't strangle him.
And the worst part.
Don't smack him.
Was that when she was freaking out, when she was so distraught, he let her go through that.
Right.
Before you know, sticking to your guns for a lie.
Is one thing.
It's pretty understandable but at that age. But
that kind of emotional pain for somebody else, right. That's borderline fucking Dexter shit. Yeah. I'm going to have to get this under control pretty quick, because that kid, he's not going to grow up to kill the shit out of Rita. So
so it really was a weird thing, yeah. And he's basically been in payback mode ever since.
Oh, yeah. He had to completely clean their room, which was an absolute fucking destruction.
Disaster.
Because they had a party and whatnot with some other kids over, and Tempe has this thing that she may or may not get from you, Jody, where clothes just go wherever she takes them off at, and they never make it to the actual hamper. And so there's like a pair of underwear over here, and a sock there, and a t-shirt there, and it's just like you're walking through your room as you're disrobing towards the bed. I see what happened here, and there's just a little trail of clothes behind you. And I at this point, there's a couple things I can confirm that are genetic with you guys. The tongue, because your dad does it, you do it. Whenever you're concentrating really hard, the tongue sticks out of your lips a little bit, which he's figured out sucks when you're welding. But she does it too when she's concentrating. And
I do it.
And
Jake does it.
And Temperance does it.
Yep.
And then
Trent does it sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. So, and then I've helped your dad install that air conditioner in his room one time, and I happened to notice his laundry pile. I'm like, oh, I get it now. That's why I'm always constantly tripping over dirty laundry.
I'm going to interject here. After 7 freaking years, I do pick up a lot more than I used to. And if I have a laundry hamper,
right,
I get it in there. Oh,
But
you don't like me to have a hamper. You think that I should just take it in
the... It's not so... Well, I will say that I think it's kind of asinine that literally the laundry room is the door on the other side of the hall from our bedroom. So it's all of like 15 feet to walk. So it wouldn't hurt you to walk in there. But that's a separate issue. I've learned to get over that one. But for me, it's the, you know, I pick up more often than I used to. That's like going back and saying, well, you know what? We were going to drop a bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. We decided not to put it, so we just did Nagasaki. So, yes, there are less bombs throughout the house, but they're still there. So, when's the last time I've harped on you about it? I haven't really...
You just jibe me about it all the time. You just dig in all the time.
I poke a little fun at you because it's funny. So and
I've noticed you've started leaving your little dirty laundry pile a little bit too. Like, I'm wearing off on you. Like,
no, I'm just trying to experiment. See if you
maybe I am the way of the future.
No, just more like it. See if it's going to start to bother you or not. And you haven't said anything.
Nope. Okay, nope. All
right, picking it back up again. So it was just my own little personal. Why don't I just leave this hang out there? Well, the only other problem I have with it, though, is too, is that because you'll have stuff, like, you'll go through your closet. You do the same thing Temperance does, too. I need to find something to wear. So, like, the entire closet, out into the room, and then you get dressed. Okay, I'm like, I gotta go. And out the door you go. And it's just like, there's still clothes everywhere. And then I'm like, which of these are clean, and which is, I can't.
I have a
I just want to, you, yeah, but when I want to get to my side of the bed, I'm like, I could move this, but am I moving it into a dirty pile? Am I moving it into a clean? I don't. So I'm just taking it to shoving everything to your side of the bed.
It works.
And then you get home and put it back, and Yeah, so, but yeah, there are just some things that are genetic, and that's one of them, because he was bitching about how much dirty laundry he found stuffed in various locations up there. And she's like, oh, my dress. I'm like, yeah, you could have worn it lots of times between now and then, too, had you put it in the freaking hamper. So he had to clean their entire room from one end to the other, which he did a fantastic job of, I might add. And that day he also had to get the kitchen spick and span from stem to stern, as well as above and beyond just doing the dishes he normally does, sweep and mop. And he was wanting to bring his little netbook that he has over to his mom's house so he and his half-brother could edit their YouTube videos before they put them on their channel, because they're starting, you know, this whole generation and the whole YouTube thing and that jazz. And I was going to let him do it, too. And I think that's the one that really got him the most.
Because he's been plotting this for a week.
Right. And so this whole thing's going on. And after I had calmed down, I go from the whole, I'm seeing red, I'm going to slice his nuts off, to we're just going to go with the, I'm so very disappointed. Yep. And I did the calm, cool, and collect.
Yep, but we didn't yell at all.
That lack of emotion, just that stuff my dad used to do to me that scared the living fuck out of me when there was no emotion in his voice whatsoever. It was just a stone cold. I am so disappointed in you.
I cried.
He
like really saw it when I was, because I was really upset.
Yeah, because you knew and I knew.
Yeah.
That she wasn't lying.
Yeah.
But we had to prove it, and unfortunately, it drug her through the mud a little bit in the process.
Ezra goes to the defense of you're just out to get me.
Yeah, it's always we're out to get Ezra. We're always picking on Ezra, and we never believe Ezra. And I'm like, well, the reason we never fucking believe you is you're always fucking lying. If you'd stop fucking lying and give me a reason to fucking believe you, I'd be able to fucking believe you. So just that whole rigmarole, and so I'm just, you know, we did the whole disappointing thing. I'm like, yeah, and you know, because you did meet the qualification of before bedtime, you guys aren't missing out on summer camp. She's not missing out on her birthday. And I want to tell you, and I also told him, and by the way, I was bluffing a little bit there too. I was never actually going to cancel her birthday or summer. Whoever was actually lying, they were the only person that was going to get their thing canceled. The other person wasn't. That was just going to be the salt in the wound that I was going to rub in. I'm like, but that whole want to edit YouTube videos with your brother so you can put them online, I was totally down for it. I wanted you to send me the links when you were done so I could look at the videos and check them out and see how stupid you guys are being, because I thought it would be funny. Yeah, it ain't happening now. And that's when he just, like, started bawling. Mm-hmm. I'm so very sorry. I'm like, that should not be
what he's been telling his brother that he was going to bring it.
Right. And then he totally fucked it all up and just messed it up. So, yeah, and he still knows he's got lots of payback. I've told him I'm like, there's more chores coming.
Well, and I've just been, like, killing him with kindness to an extent. Like, you're doing such a good job playing with your sister. It's time to go build Lincoln Log Village with your sister.
He's gotten it, though. Yeah. We're like, hey, I'm like, hey, Ezra, you need to go upstairs and play with Temperance and Trent. He's like, we're going to go play Lincoln Logs now. And he starts to, like, complain. And you can see him click, like, no, this is bad. And even today, he kind of started squawking a bit to my mom about the fact that he's like, yeah, I had to clean Temperance's room and I found dirty laundry everywhere. And he was complaining. He was just talking about she had asked him what he had done through the whole week and whatnot. And I'm like, and I stopped him. I'm like, and why were you cleaning up your brother's and sister's room? He's like, because I did something really stupid. I'm like, that's not how I would phrase it, but I'll accept that from you, yes. I'm like, so I don't want, you can tell grandma what you've been doing throughout the week, but all the extra crap about how horrible it is because of how filthy they are, I'm like, not to mention the fact that I saw your room before you cleaned it.
Yeah.
You're no better than they are. Literally, we just live with apes. I mean, it's just a bunch of little mini apes that are around here and fling shit at everything. I'm like, so don't... Yeah, you can tell her, you know, but be truthful about it, because you didn't say anything about being in trouble. You just said, I had to clean. And then that makes it sound like we're slave drivers. Yeah. I'm like, no.
They
like,
made me clean.
Right, you had to clean. They made me. Yeah, you had to clean it because you did this and it was fucking stupid and you put your sister through hell and now you're going through hell because of it. And mom goes, one of those. I'm like, yep. She's like, when are you going to learn, boy? Well, she's like, you always do this. You always do something really stupid. And then dad he does what his dad did to him and totally fucks your world. And you don't like it. And yet you keep fucking doing it. Learn.
Learn.
Yeah, just learn.
Well, what bothers me the most is he's had problems with these, like, really, like, stick-to-itiveness lies in the past where he just keeps digging and digging and, like, you never believe me. You don't. You never have any faith in me. And it's like, well, no shit. Really?
Because you never give us any reason to have faith in you lately. You're always giving us shit about something. And so, and I told him too, and I got to the point where I got a little emotional a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, I want to be able to believe my son when he tells me something. But I've gotten to the point now from where if you say somebody has wronged you or you say somebody has upset you, I've gotten from the point of where I want to instantly go to your defense right to where I want to go. So what did you do?
Mm-hmm.
What did you do to instigate this thing? And I'm like, and that's a horrible fucking feeling to have as a parent. And I don't want to have that feeling. You need to unfuck yourself and stop doing these things because nobody's going to like you. And the other thing we told him too was that, you know, you are going to apologize to your sister. You're going to explain it and then realize that she might hate you for a while. And I mean, literally, she might say that she hates you for a while. And don't you dare call her on it. What's up?
Is that window open?
Yes. I have the windows down here open because we don't have the AC on.
Okay, the curtains were moving and I'm like, that's really creepy. Sorry, I didn't mean to derail, but like so, I was like having
Yeah, no, and so I'm like, you know, so if she like freaks out like I hate you, I'm like, you just better fucking take it because I would hate you too. I would be really upset with you.
But do you know what she did?
Go ahead.
So that morning, Tempe comes and wakes me up. Anyway. When Tempe comes down, she's like, blah, 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 you know,
mm-hmm.
normal, happy, chipper morning Tempe, blah, 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 blah. And I go, did you talk to your brother? Oh, yeah, he's the one that woke me up. We had a good talk, and he told me all everything, and I got my coin, and everything's fine.
Yeah, and she's just like, no big deal.
I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm like, it's really cool that she handled it that way. I'm like, but it's also kind of scary to me, too, because she's going to be that person that always takes things in stride, is always okay with it. And then there's going to be that line.
There's going to be a line, yeah.
And the poor, sorry son of a bitch that pushes her past that line is going to die. Maybe die and then be reanimated just to be killed again because she's going to take an entire lifetime's worth of aggressions out on that one person. So, yeah, and I'm still flabbergasted by the entire situation because for me, I get that things are much bigger as a kid and there are stupid things that have much more, they seem way cooler than they actually are. But even to that extent, I know I wouldn't have gone through all that and had my dad threatening to take away my livelihood and everything else over a goddamn coin. But yeah, you know what? I really wanted it. Not so much anymore.
I'm good. I'm sorry.
I'm very sorry. Just whatever punishment you give me now will be way better than anything you're promising to give me and or what you're putting me through mentally right now. So let's just fucking stop right here. I'm sorry. And I would have moved the fuck on. But not him.
Tempe caves so easy.
She did. And I feel bad. And I really want to...
When she has told a lie in the past, we're like, honey, we know that somebody's lying here, you know.
And she'll cave right in.
She just looks at you like, I'm sorry.
Yeah. It was me. But she was... That was one of the many things included. Us into it because she was stoically holding us. Yeah. No, I am not lying. And it wasn't like, you know, that I'm not a crook. It was like, no, she was literally like legit. Like, you could put a polygraph on her. I'm not fucking lying. We need one.
We need a polygraph.
Yeah. That's what we need.
No, we need better behaved kids.
No. But if we have a polygraph and I can just hook them up to a machine.
I thought about installing the freaking security cameras.
Well, not even that. But if you think about it, about how much just the idea of the fact that I tell my son that I can see what goes on the internet and everything else has kept him from doing shit.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not that's actually true, it's really worked. So maybe I'm just like, I've got this thing that I can plug into my computer now that I can tell when you're... But I know that one will eventually bite me in the ass if I do it.
Yeah.
Whereas I can. I can actually turn the router off. I'm like, oh, no, you can't do that anymore.
Well, I told... And this is almost a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
They had been bickering a lot and they would do that thing where... You come in and somebody would have hurt someone else, right. But there was no, you know.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get those freaking security cameras that you, like the little pin dot ones that you can't see. And I'm going to put them all over so I can go back and review the tapes every night.
Yeah.
And Tempe was totally convinced. Because I told her I showed her where I put it and like, but it bit me in the ass because later they were both having like a little tiff and I'm like, well,
look at the tape.
Yeah.
He's the one that's doing it. Go look at the tape.
Yeah. She totally was like, just go look at the tape, mom, and then you'll know. And I'm like,
oh fuck.
I'm like, yeah, but if I have to take the time to look at the tape, I'm going to be pissed, you know?
Yeah.
But once again, she held her ground and he caved.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I don't know that kid.
Yeah. He's a conundrum wrapped in an enigma. But it,
I will say that is the exact time. This is not abnormal stuff. It's just hard to deal with.
It's hard to deal with, and it's one of those things that it's one of those times as a parent where you're like, I've raised you better than this. I have shown you better than this. I have been a, if nothing else, I've been a stellar example of owning your bullshit when you do something stupid. You know, and I know that like, in this particular example, he's not going to know this for a long time, but the divorce is a perfect example of this. I don't speak ill of her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't say the vile things that I should say about what she did. But I also claim, like, hey, yeah, she fucked up big time. What'd she do? Not for me to say. You want to ask her about it sometime? Well, go ahead. But you and I, when you're like 21, 22, we'll go have a beer. Then I'll tell you. But right now, mm-hmm. this is not my deal. But I always go, but I will also say, I didn't help. Mm-hmm. I was an ass at times. I was extra mean in these things. I was, you know, I took a situation and instead of responding this way, I responded this way, which then just added fuel to the fire. And while it felt good in the moment to kind of like just twist the knife a bit, in the long grand scheme of things, you know, it didn't actually achieve anything except for more hurt and torment and pain. And then it's through those conversations we've had at times where he's like, well, you know, well, if you hadn't done that, and do you think you could have made it better? You guys could have worked. I'm like, no, I realize now your mom and I would have never, ever made it. There's just too much that don't mix. It's like oil and vinegar, right?
Well, and then this week, Tempe's talking all over. So how many times can you get divorced in your whole life? I'm like,
are you planning ahead?
I don't. I guess as many times as you get married, if you really
think about it. Yeah.
And then, well, can you get married to the same person that you get divorced from? Like, yes, but people don't usually do that. Well, what if they, like, she's just got all these questions about divorce and like, well, daddy was married before. I'm like, yes, he was. To Ezra's mom. I'm like, yes. But why did they get a divorce? I'm like, well, that's a really complicated question. You'll have to talk to daddy about that some more. And, you know, just how many times can you be married? How old do you have to be to get married?
Mm-hmm.
Can you, like...
Which almost makes me wonder if there's somebody at daycare that might be going through or seeing things that look like, and they're talking. Because, you know, kids will talk to each other and try to get...
And it does, I mean... My parents are divorced, and she knows that, and she knows that, you know, it was Papa and Nana were married, and then they got divorced, and then they married the, you know, like, just, you know, on and on and on. So divorce and remarriage is not something that's
foreign to her.
Yeah. And I don't know. It's just really cute how she wants to, like, really know what everything is and why. And she's like... But why do people get married if they're just going to get divorced? I'm like, well, they don't usually get married thinking that they're going to get divorced.
Right, yeah. And it may have been part of maybe that wedding you guys went to last weekend, too.
Maybe.
Just, I mean, because that's one of those things that, you know, I'm, no offense to them, but I've got the countdown timer for how quickly it implodes. Those two.
You never know. And they're young. They're so young.
Oh, it's nothing about you being young. For me, it's never, because my mom was super young and they're still together. It's just... I've seen the Facebook posts because that's, once again, of that generation where it just all spills out.
Everything is on Facebook. Oh,
and I've seen the things that he does that really annoy her that he does nothing to fix. Mm-hmm. And they're fairly serious character flaws that would piss off a lot of people. And so I'm just kind of waiting for it to see, you know, where it goes, because I would hope they are okay and they make it and whatnot, but not if it's to their or their child's detriment.
Right.
But at the same time, the things that he does, like, you know, calling and saying, oh, by the way, I'm just not going to come home today. I'm going to be out with my buds all day long. You can take care of the kid, right? By a click. And it was like, really, dude? Because he's still of that age. He and in that respect, he's not mature. Yeah. Now, it's not, like I said, I don't go by an age thing. I go by a maturity thing.
Okay, but that's what I mean by that. Because
is that he's not mature enough to, you know, realize that, hey, dude, you got your dick wet. And in that, you made a kid. You've got responsibilities now. And you can't just go out with the broskies, whatever the fuck you want, and expect it to be all hunky-dory. Especially like when you're going out in the broskies on a day where she's supposed to go to work that night. And now she's scrambling to find childcare for your fucking kid, but you're off work, but you're not fucking taking care. Oh my God. I just want to go there. I think that's part of the reason why I didn't go to the wedding. I just walk up, you know, speaking out for every people. I got something fucking to say. You little motherfucker. But I didn't want to ruin that for him. So I just kind of did my, the other thing.
You were doing a different thing.
Yeah. I went to Sean's house and did
the air thing. Yeah.
But I mean, it made it a lot easier to miss the wedding because of stuff like that. So
it was beautiful, kind of.
But that actually—that's actually, you know, as Mr. B would say, you know, we're so good at the show that actually has a good segue into this next topic I want to talk about here, about parents who aren't, like, you know, paying attention or thinking about the kids or realizing they have a kid. All over the social medias and the Twitters and the Facey Spaces and everything else this week have been the lady from Maine who, depending on who you believe and who you talk to, was fed up with the child that was screaming forever in a day and told it, you know, basically told the kid to knock it off, this has to stop, and got her to shut up. Or, if you look at it from the parent's perspective, she's this evil, vile bitch that yells at toddlers, and how could you, and yada, yada, yada. And it's been this whole, you know, there's been interviews and this and that, and it's just been fodder all week long. And we've actually got a couple news clips to play here. Oh, I've got to figure out which mouse I'm holding and where. Yeah, this whole mobile thing's still kind of getting me, so click that. All right, so we're going to go with this one for, oh, it's Fox News? I don't know. I didn't realize that.
We've all been there, but there's a growing backlash over the owner of a diner in Maine who is refusing to apologize for yelling at a crying two-year-old, sparking millions of comments on social media. The owner of Marcy's Diner in Portland says she tried to get the family to control their kid until she had had enough.
I turned around, slammed both hands on the counter.
Oh, shit.
And said, this has got to stop. None of the mother screamed at me because I was yelling at her child. You know what, lady, you should have taken the kid outside. I think maybe mom and dad could have taken the kid out and nipped it right in the bud. I had had enough.
The parents have a much different story. They say she, a quote, lunatic who screamed in their child's faces. Okay, when's it okay to take your toddler to a diner? And also, when is it okay to scold other people's children? Sandra, okay, you've got toddlers.
All this responsibility lies in the hands of the parents. You only take your toddler to a restaurant if they're well-fed, well-slept. It's a good time of day. Don't take them to a restaurant at 8 o'clock at night. And this is all on the parents, period.
Yeah, and she apparently let the baby cry for 40 minutes before she did this. Look, I'm the kind of parent who actually likes other people who could sometimes even have more effect disciplining my kids than myself. I don't know the exact terms of how she did it, but let me tell you something. All of us are lunatics if we have to hear a kid screaming for 40 minutes.
Diner owners unite!
Oh my God.
You go, girl.
I don't know. I might have had some choice words for that person who yelled at my kid, but it was the Ferber method, perhaps gone wrong, and moms right. will know what that means.
So, yeah, I'm trying to remove myself from the rage that I'm feeling towards Fox News anchors because I really do, and I'm not one of those, like, just, you know, freak out liberals. I really hate
any news channel that does that
style of reporting.
I can't stand
it. Where it's like they're trying to like emulate The View, but it's just ridiculous.
It just comes across as stupid.
So the gist of it is that these, you know, court, like I said, supposedly the kid was yelling for 40 minutes, throwing a fit, which in that respect, you know, you don't, that was like one of the first reports about it. You're like, eh, okay, so the kid was screaming, she freaked out, slammed her hands on the counter and yelled at the kid. Okay. I can really kind of see both sides. And then you start to get another report like this one where it starts to pick up a little more fervor.
I might snap. And I do scream at times, but it's all it is. Just leaning over the counter and yelling.
Darla Nugebauer, the owner of Marcy's Diner, says she snapped Saturday at a young girl. It all started when her parents ordered her some pancakes.
They ordered 3 for this kid, a 2-year-old. 3 pancakes, bigger than her head. And then they didn't even feed them to her.
Nugebauer says the pancakes were out of the girl's reach. She wanted to eat them, but Nugebauer claims her parents weren't letting her have them, so the girl started loudly crying. Nugebauer asked the group to leave or take the girl outside, but they didn't. The girl continued to cry, lasting nearly an hour, Nugebauer says, and she had had enough.
All I said was I slammed my hands on the counter and I said, this needs to stop. Meaning her screaming, and I pointed at her, and she looked at me, and she stopped. And her parents said, are you screaming at a child? Yes, I am.
This chick's kind of, like, out there.
Nugebauer got what she wanted, but the girl's parents are upset, leaving a comment on the diner's Facebook page calling what happened there the worst experience. Adding, who in their right mind would behave like this unless you are deranged? Neugebauer replied to the post, saying in part, "Yes, I am blank crazy, and you are lucky I didn't get really blank nuts, because being physical is not something I cower from."
Are you sorry at all?
I don't know if sorry would be the proper word. I might have used poor judgment. I wouldn't say I was sorry, because it stopped. When things stop, it's usually a good thing.
Now Marcy's is getting a lot of backlash online.
Like, who say your entire business stopping.
Neugebauer is shrugging it off.
Life's full of choices, and you gotta live with all of them. I chose to yell at the kid. It made her shut up, which made me happy. It made my staff happy. It made the other 75 people in the restaurant happy. And they left. They may never come back. Other people may not come in. Their loss, really.
Neugebauer, who's getting a lot of positive feedback as well, is continuing with business as usual.
So there's that one. So there's a little more information. Mm-hmm. Now it's
and she comes across as a little psycho. Like,
well, she came across as psycho in the other one, but it glitched out that first part. Yeah. But it's not even so much psycho. Just one of those no nonsense. Just whether or not that's the persona she thinks she's right. Coming across as is that I'm no nonsense. I just get down to business. Yeah, I might have done this, and it might not have been the best. And I know people like that, and yeah. I get what she's saying. The part that gets me is that if what she is saying is true, and they still haven't really gotten a hold of any of the other diners yet to confirm or to deny this, at least not that I've found so far, I would have done the same thing to a respect of, I would have, you know, not, but I wouldn't have yelled at the kids.
I would not have yelled at the kid.
I would have gotten in the parent's face and like, listen, motherfucker, your kid's hungry and you're not, he can't or she can't reach their food, and you're too busy doing whatever the fuck it is they were doing to give the kid the food and be inattentive to the fucking fuck trophy you made. So yeah, I would have been up in somebody's face. It just wouldn't have been the kids.
Right.
But at the same time, I have snapped like that at the kids, our kids, when they're making a shit ton of noise and I've asked them to be quiet. I'm like, shut up. You know, do that. It, like, I turn into like Arnold from Kindergarten Cop. Just shut up. So I get that where you lose that sense of processing that I should be yelling, just not at the child. So I can to an extent sympathize with that. Like, I've been there. And then we have this one. Ooh, jazzy music.
A response in the Washington Post to the owner of Marcy's Diner. Darla Neugebauer has been standing behind her decision to yell at a crying two-year-old over the weekend. The girl's mom, Tara Carson, now writing that her daughter was fussing but not having a meltdown. She says no one in the diner seemed to notice, so they didn't take her outside in the rain. And as to Marcy's Diner, Carson writes, quote, "It's never okay to yell at a baby, especially if you own a restaurant. You should care about providing good service to their patrons. Darla is not deterred and has refused to apologize."
Okay, so that's the last video for that whole series. What I have found intriguing is that the mom, much like Ezra, her story has been changing. Mm-hmm. As it's gone on. Because originally it was just, for no reason, mm-hmm. this chick yelled at my daughter. Mm-hmm. Like, she just snapped and freaked out. Then it's kind of turned into, well, yes, she was freaking out, but nobody else seemed to have a problem with it. Yada, yada, yada. And then it went to, like, well, yes, she was freaking out, nobody else had a problem with it, and we didn't want to go outside because it was raining. And it's like, there's just these layers that keep getting added on to make her side of the story sound horrible to try to, like, get backlash at this chick. And I'm like, I'm just looking at this whole thing, I'm like, you know, me personally, if I'm in a restaurant and my kid's acting like that, I am embarrassed. Mm-hmm. I'm like feeling.
That's
I'm like,
where I. That's and where I'm at.
I want to remove myself from the situation because I don't want to be looked at like that. In the respect of, I just it's not something I want. Like, I don't want to portray that. That's how I allow my kids to behave, or that I think it's acceptable behavior. I understand that there are kids, much like we've had Sarah on the past, who have actual like problems processing mm-hmm. those emotions. But once again, like I've always said, she actively navigates those waters with them and tries to, you know, help get them to the clear thought patterns. So for me, it goes back to that whole, I would like to have more information from like actual fellow diners as to what's going on, because obviously the place is still slamming from that last video. This is all, you know, they were slammed. This place is a cornerstone of this community from what I found. It's been there since like 89. People love it. Love the food. People love to go there. So I would think that if she was this child-hating Nazi woman that was just a bitch, there probably would have been more problems and reports and complaints by now. And yeah. There haven't been.
Yeah. And in this day and age, you can completely ruin a small business by leaving one, you know, horrifically negative review.
Right.
And I think that shouldn't...
Well, I think that's what she's trying to do. She's trying to get some social media revenge. But once again, we're still a lot of conditionals here. The way I'm looking at it is that if what the owner is saying is true, and the kid, first off, one of the other reports where they didn't say it in the video, but I read it, was that the kid was hungry when they got in. They had made mention of the fact, hey, can we get the food as quickly as possible? The child's hungry, which in that respect, perhaps carry some snacks with you.
Yeah.
We've all been there. But at the same time, she's like, I don't get it. She's like, they say their child's hungry. There are plenty of these things on the menu that we could have gotten out to her like that, and they decided to order 3 pancakes. And this place is known for like their plate-sized pancakes. Yeah. Those take some fucking time to cook, let alone 3 of them. And then what the fuck are you doing ordering 3 pancakes that a full-grown fucking construction worker can't finish for a toddler?
Yeah.
So there are things that are stacking up against the parents thus far that are making... It sounds like they just want some, basically some social media love and some social media attention of, oh, poor me, my child was yelled at, wah, wah, wah. And this chick's kind of caught in the backlash because she probably was having, because anybody who's had to deal with a screaming child.
That's just it.
For any amount of time, your brain, there's something about a screaming kid, and I think it's a biological wiring.
Oh, yeah.
Whether or not you actually want to have children,
yeah.
There's that biological wiring back there that when a child is crying, you know,
Keyed into your genetics to respond to that.
How people respond is based on whether they like kids or they think kids are the spawns of Satan.
Or my rate of other things, but I've been in a small diner situation with with a kid, not my own, that was having freakouts.
Yeah.
And, you know, even just 5 minutes of that can be mind-numbing.
Right. Especially if you're looking at the parents and they're not actively trying to contain the situation.
And even when they are, I'm going to put this as delicately as I can, but be blunt about it. Sometimes their quote unquote methods of dealing with it are ridiculous.
Well, I'm not even going to say ridiculous. Let's say those people that are like, well, they're just expressing themselves. They need to. That's fine. The difference is they don't have to express themselves in front of everybody else.
Right.
And part of that learning experience should be that as they're progressing through their development phases of letting them know when it's an appropriate time to express themselves in that way versus expressing themselves by talking it out. So if you want to have that loose and limbo of, well, this is what happens. And I always bring Zach and Ariana into, and Aventurine and Ariana into this. Friends, you know, he's been on the podcast before. They're very much that very loose, not loose, but very much, you know, go with the flow. We're going to kind of navigate these waters of the child's behavior and react and whatever. But whenever she goes into that freakout mode, even though they allow her to have the freakout, they're immediately there to comfort her and say, what can I do for you? And they pull themselves away from the situation where they know that's going to possibly cause problems for the people. And they just focus in on her and say, hey, what can we do? How can I help you? What's wrong? Mm-hmm. And they try to work. But they're attentive. And that's the difference for me, is that they are attentive to the child's needs and wants while also being understanding of the fact that because they chose to have children doesn't mean that the rest of the world chose to have those kids.
Well, and what it really boils down to is we weren't there. We don't know.
Right, right.
I will say, if I had someone yell at my directly to my child in that situation, whether or not I was actually doing something wrong, to be honest,
even
if I was completely in the wrong,
you'd still react.
I would still be pissed.
Right. Well, and that's the thing I look at too. But the other thing that's weird to me is they don't want to come on TV. They don't want to give interviews.
Yeah.
Why not? I mean, is it going to be hard for you to hold up your story if you actually have to say it in front of somebody and you know, keep a straight face and?
But it bothers me when anybody other than me, quote-unquote, disciplines or corrects even my child. It does bother me.
Right.
There's people here in town that when we're out and about, will like say something to the kids like, oh, you're not, don't throw the toy or whatever. Like,
oh, yeah.
And I'm like,
I'll come out and say it. I actually talked to that lady at the tumbling center. Mm-hmm. She went to tell something. I'm like, I'm here. I've got this. You got to give me a second to step in. I'm not one of those shitty parents that won't take care of my child. So just stop.
Yeah.
And she kind of looked at me and I'm like, Trent. And I'm like, get your ass over here right now. Mm-hmm. He stood up and marched over. And she kind of looked like, whoa. I'm like, yeah, see, when I say something, he fucking reacts. I'm the goddamn parent here. So just, and I get what they're doing because there are a lot of those situations where, and they say, well, you know, how, like, they'll say, well, you can't be in the class if you don't pay, you know, and I get people to do that and why they do that, but you've also got to be smart enough in those situations to go, oh, that is a parent that's not attentive, and this is, oh, shit, anything I do is going to be way better than, yep, I'm stepping out, I'm going to let him handle it. And so it hasn't happened since then for me, since I basically called her out, I'm like, hey, you just stay behind the counter there where you're supposed to be. Mm. I'll handle this out here. You keep those kids back there doing what they're supposed to be doing, and we'll be just fine. You come out this direction again, and I'm going to come at you. Yeah. And it's not going to be pretty. And I don't mean like I'm going to, you know, thump on the chick or anything like that, but just I will tell her exactly where she stands in life, and it's not anywhere I'm very happy with. So I don't like the lady for a myriad of other reasons, but that's another problem. But it always comes back to me, like, even there is a base understanding that some people don't get when they have children or don't realize or never quite clue into. And that is that once you have that child, your life as you know it does end and changes.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be prepared for that. And one of those things that happens, while it sucks like a god, it sucks so bad, is that you are going to miss out on things, or there are things that you're not going to want to go do based upon how the child is behaving that day. Or there are times where you'll actually be in the middle of doing something, realize, you know what, they're not going to, it's just going to be hell for everybody involved if we continue to try to do this. So you need to and you should extricate yourself from that situation and bring the temperament level back down for everybody, because it's not something that's pleasant for the child to have to go through from their point of view. It's definitely not pleasant from your point of view. And for anybody who's around you who doesn't, A, love the kids the way you do, or B, want to love kids in general, not in the dirty, yucky way, they don't want to listen to that, and you need to be respectful of that.
Yeah.
Now, does that mean that you can never, ever go anywhere again? Not at all, but you have to judge it by the kid. And for a perfect example is, we took Trent to his first movie, Minions,
mm-hmm.
way younger than we ever did it with Tempe.
Mm-hmm.
Because he sits down and will sit still. Even at the age of 6, she still fidgets, you know. And so movies were a no fucking go when she was younger. We tried it once, and it went.
It was awful.
It was horrible.
Oh my God.
But we also... Nobody. We never left her in the theater, and it mm-hmm. got to the point where finally, I don't remember which one of us stepped out with her, but one of us permanently stepped out mm-hmm. and kept her out in the lobby, and let the rest of the family finish the movie up, and it blew chunks for that person. It sucked ass, but as a parent, that's what you signed up for. It's not like you can just go get, you know, make your little crotch fruit, have your fuck trophy, and then go, okay, have fun. You guys got to deal with them. Now I'm going to keep playing my video games, and... So it's that aspect that bothers me of people who are, you know, I've come to the realization now that I don't really care so much how people deal with their children or what method they choose to correct their child. I may not always agree that it's working, especially if it's visible that it does not appear to be working, but whatever methods they choose to are perfectly okay in my book, as long as they're being attentive to the child and they're paying attention and they're saying, oh, they need something, what's going on? And they're responding and they're diffusing the situation. Because we've had little hiccups with Trent in the restaurants and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
yeah.
Where we've immediately said, okay, buddy, what can I do for you? Well, I want a color and I want that crayon. Tempe took it from me. I'm like, oh, blue, like this one right here? And then we explain it to him and we talk to him and we bring him back down, and then he's calm, cool, and collected, and we move on. And, you know, we've had the times where we've had to pick him up, go to the bathroom, like, you know, if I got to bring you back here again, we're just going to go to the car and fun time's over for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I am going to, and I always make sure to let him understand. And whoever has to remove you is going to be very, very angry with you. And it's not going to be a fun time. And he's like, not a fun time. I'm like, when has daddy being mad ever been fun? Oh, you know, and he gets it, but it's because we're attentive to what they're doing. And
as much as I hate to say this, I agree with something somebody else said on that one of the news ones. As a parent, you also take into account what your child is capable of at any given moment. You don't take a tired,
right,
starving kid to a restaurant and expect them to be perfectly well behaved.
And to understand why they have to wait for their food,
right,
when they see other people in the restaurant getting their food, and all they know is their tummy hurts and they want to fucking have some food in their belly.
Right.
Why can't I wait for this? Blah, 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 blah.
Or you come up with a better plan. Like, you walk in, you say, this kid's really hungry. Can we get a cracker?
Yeah.
Like,
we've done that.
Yeah.
Hey, look, we've actually walked.
We do that all the time.
We talked to the waitress. We're trying to avoid a meltdown here. And we ran out of goldfish. So can you get me some bread?
Oyster crackers.
Anything.
Saltine crackers.
Just anything. A slice of bread. Anything that we can just put in their mouth so they're satiated till the food comes. And
they're more than happy to do that.
And most of the time, the people that are waiting at the table are like, I've got one too, and I understand. Yeah. I'll be right back. Yeah. And I've actually had it where they'll actually go back and they'll pull, you know, more than just crackers, and they'll give them to you. And like, here, we were able to whip this up really quick. So here you go. They'll just feed the kid. He needs to eat, or she needs to eat. But once again, it's being in tune, and just you're trying to get in front of that attack or that freak out and head it off before it happens. It's very much literally parenting is war.
Mm-hmm.
And you're constantly trying to stay on the front lines and stay ahead of whatever attack they're going to bring at you next. So. Yeah, but it was, and then of course, my fucking rage started to build up as I'm reading comments from the myriad of people, to the ones who are just blindly supporting the diner,
mm-hmm,
to the ones who are just blindly supporting the parents, and it really didn't seem like there was anybody, and there was very, very few people in the middle who were like, well, you know, she shouldn't have yelled at the child. But the parents shouldn't allow the child to act that way. And there were very few that were down in the middle of looking at it like, let's look at this way. Both sides fucked up.
That's where I'm at, I think, is there's not a lot of excuse for yelling at somebody else's child.
Right.
But there's not a lot of excuse for letting your child yell or scream for 40 minutes either.
And in today's passive-aggressive society, you can't say, well, none of the other patrons in the restaurant were saying anything. It's like, well,
who would?
Most people don't.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, like, for me especially, like, I don't dare comment to another parent, especially, or at least not to another female parent, because the myriad of ways that can go wrong for me, I can be, you know,
I've learned to offer a helping hand. Like, I've said on the show before, like,
right,
kind of like a nod and a, hey.
But even I'm careful about that myself, because it's just,
well,
one of those,
you look scary.
Right. It was like that one time I'm go down to the local, I had to go to the local Walmart or something here, and I noticed there was this lady, it was in this pickup truck, and she was trying, and she was like, I mean, like 10 feet thin, and she was a tiny little thing, and she's trying to push this truck into this parking spot. So I'm like, okay, so I whip into a spot, I'm getting ready to hop out and help her push it in, and all of a sudden three other big burly dudes show up, and they get the truck into the parking spot for her, and she throws it in park. I'm like, all right. And one guy was talking with her, and I'm like, okay, so she needs a jump start or something. So I go in the store, come back out, truck's still there, she's in it, no one else is around there to help her, and she's on her phone. And she wasn't playing games. You could tell she was texting somebody trying to get some help. But it was during that hot spell when it was like 101 degrees outside, and they're in this now non-air-conditioned vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And so I very specifically made this approach where I had already was next to her truck because I was only like a car, you know, length down. And I went really wide out and behind and on the other side of this car that was on the other side of her, so that there was literally an entire vehicle between her and I, so I didn't actually get, like, mace for walking up to her window or something like that. And I said, excuse me, ma'am. And she looks and still was like, ah, and she freaked out. I'm like, I know, I'm sorry. So I just noticed when I pulled in here, you were getting pushed into this spot, and now you're still here. Do you need a jump start? Can I help you get, like, a tow company out here? What's going on? She said, no, my starter went out. Jump's not going to help it. And she was actually very well versed in vehicles. She's like, the solenoid. And I'm like, oh, you speak this language. Sweet. I'm like, so your solenoid's jammed. She's like, oh, yeah. And, you know, it's been kicking off of me. I'm just trying to limp it along a little longer. I'm like, okay. I'm like, well, do you have somebody come in to help you? She's like, yeah. I'm like, and the heat. She's like, oh, no, I was just finishing up a conversation right now, and I'm getting the kids out. We're going inside so we can be there. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm like, because as weird as this may sound, I was going to let you sit in my car if you needed to. Just under the AC. She's like, okay, you know. But it was still one of those things that I had to be very careful with how I approached this girl, because, like you said, scary-looking man
yep.
coming up to this little lady with her little in person with her kids, and I'm just like, I really want to. I am really a big teddy bear, believe it or not. I can be mean and surly, but I'm really not that most of the time.
Well, and I don't always offer to help. More often than not, I'm going to offer like a wink and a nod, mm-hmm. like, don't worry, you've got this kind of thing.
Right.
If I see somebody who's honestly struggling, I will. Can I hold the baby for you for a second? While you need to pee?
Right.
Like, I have held babies for people, complete strangers who need to pee.
Which you can get away with that.
I can, because I have boobs.
Can I hold the baby for you? Stranger danger! it would not end well.
And, you know, when you're offering support and mm-hmm. help instead of just,
you know,
a snide comment or a rolling of the eyes,
right,
you build a better community. As preachy as that sounds. So, if I was another diner in that situation, maybe I would be like, oh, here's some crackers for little Johnny until, you know, or Susie or whatever the fuck. So, but I think in today's passive aggressive culture, nobody will do that.
Well, I think it's a passive aggressive culture by design, meaning people have become so afraid of what's going to happen to them, much like me, the repercussions of what may happen to me if I attempt to offer assistance. Mm-hmm. I've told the funny story before about helping the black guy out when I had freshly bicked my head. You know, those are the things that I don't think about, or I didn't think about, but I've become starkly way more aware of what I look like severely dictates how other people are going to respond to what I'm trying to do. Mm-hmm. And so you almost by design don't want to take that risk or that chance because of the fact that you don't want to. You look at it from one of two ways. You're worried about what's going to happen to you as the person trying to offer help, or actually that's usually the way you look at it. Whatever angle, you know, and you're looking at it from either of, are they going to take my approach appropriately, meaning I'm trying to help them, or on the flip side of that, if I try to help them, are they going to shove me in the back of their car and rape me? Mm-hmm. Because there are those two, you know, but it's always out of a level of concern for what's going to happen if I decide to make the, you know, mm-hmm. it's like I've seen people hitchhiking before that looked like they could probably just really use a ride. Mm-hmm. And I've got my kids in the car with me.
Yep.
And while I'm willing to possibly take that risk on by myself, I'm not willing to take that risk on when I have my children in the car. I'm sorry. I know it's hotter than hell. If you want to sit in the back of my truck, I'd open the back hatch, but you're not getting up front. And I know that's just going to be considered, you know, just a shitty thing to do, so I don't even offer it. But we've kind of done this to ourselves as a society because people are afraid to offer help because of what might happen or the responses they may get, good, bad, or indifferent. But for me, it really does boil down to, is the parent being attentive? And if they are being attentive, you know, offer, like you said, solidarity, sister, or whatever. But it's really hard not to want to just walk up to somebody and shove their nose to the back of their head when they're letting something like that happen, where it's, you know, and what lesson are you teaching your child? If you're trying to use that whole, I'm teaching them something, what is it about being hungry and not being able to reach the food while you wrap up on your iPhone or whatever? What are you teaching them that whenever mommy and daddy say they have time for you, then it's okay for you to actually need something? You know, and I get that there's, you can't just you can't blanket it like that, because there are those times where their kid truly doesn't need anything and they shouldn't be screaming at you except for the fact they're being shits. And
but that's when you have to respect the other people around you,
right,
too. Because if my kid is screaming or throwing a fit or being obnoxious for no reason,
right,
and I've done all the things I should do and they're still doing it, that's when I say, okay, not gonna work, we need to leave,
we're moving on. Yeah, we tried this. And then you give the whole lecture that gives you primo lecture time on the way home. Hey, we were just at John's Incredible Pizza, and I was having a John's Incredible Pizza incredible fucking time, and now we're in the car, and it sucks. And it sucks because you sucked. And because you sucked, we all had to leave, and now I'm not happy, and your brother's not happy, and your sister's not happy, and it's all because you couldn't shut your mouth.
I think maybe we've only done that like one time with each kid.
Right.
I mean, it really does
work. It does work, because it's kind of like the whole sock party that happens in the military, where it just takes one time and getting the living shit beat out of you with soap bars to realize that whatever it was you were doing that the entire company didn't like and beat the snot out of you for it, I'm not going to do that again. So it's kind of a method of doing that. Of just saying, yeah, you know, we did leave and we couldn't be there because your behavior was not acceptable and up to the level we needed for that place. And so, yeah.
I know when I did it with Trent.
And it's always fun when the other kids ask, well, why did we have to leave? Well, because Tempe wasn't behaving, or because Ezra, and they're like, and then Trent is always the cutest about, why couldn't you just behave, Tempe? Or, Ezra, what's your problem? He just gets so mouthy. He's just like, I'm not having fun now, it's because of you, and I'm just, oh, so, he gets so just fucking just erg about it. It's hilarious. So, I don't have much else to talk about this episode. I'm sure you saw the site. I want to talk about that. Say that for another episode. This is a YouTube quote unquote sensation, but we can get into that later. So if you don't have anything else to add about this particular subject, or anything else you want to say,
no.
Alrighty then. So, babe, where can we be found?
Our new website.
You're right.
Our new redesigned.
Right. The redesign on the website was finally rolled out after. And I say this, many weeks of working on it, but it only took me many weeks to work on it because I only work on it, like, you know, 10 minutes at a time, 20 minutes at a time, and I get right in the middle of something, whatever. But yeah, we do have a newly designed website. It's been redone. I've redid our logo, and I'm actually quite, toot my own horn a little bit, I'm quite proud of myself because outside of removing the background from our family portrait image, I've done all of this myself. I built the logo from scratch, and I'm trying to teach myself photo editing to make myself more, you know, employable. Not that I don't need a job or anything, but just one of those, it's just another skill set to add to my myriad of things that I do. And we've used that word a lot tonight. So
you use that word a lot in general.
Okay. Well, I need to stop that. So yeah, we have a newly designed website up, and we got a new logo to go with it. And I'm kind of, like I said, I'm pretty proud of it. So what is that website?
Badparentingpodcast.com.
Yes. Haha. And if you want to email us,
grounded@
Oh, some enthusiasm, please.
I'm sorry. If you're going to quiz me, I'm going to give you quiz answers. grounded@badparentingpodcast.com.
And voicemail.
503-609-0375.
And if they want to email you directly.
Jody, J-O-D-I, at badparentingpodcast.
And what if they want to email me directly?
Justin, J-U-S-T-I-N,
at
badparentingpodcast.com.
And if you want to find us in all of the local social medias,
you might want to just search for Bad Parenting Podcast.
In case you're not getting the theme here, it all seems to be revolving around the Bad Parenting Podcast. So we can be found on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. All of the above. So voicemails, reviews.
And on my Twitter is Agent Jody Wynn.
Yes. That's listed on the website.
Okay.
Yeah, it's up there.
I haven't been using it nearly enough. I try and I go for like spurts and then I.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah. Damn it.
As much as I hate the word, that was an organic one. I didn't have to say, like, you know, nope, you just said it. And I'm like, yeah, it worked. I like it when that happens. When you walk into that wall and I'm like, ha ha ha, got it. As Ezra would say, got him.
If he says D's nuts one more time, I'm going to have D's nuts in a vice.
Why?
It's your fault.
No, it's not.
You showed it to him first.
But he had already seen it, he told me. I'll just let you know that. He had already been introduced to D's nuts, as bad as I just realized that sounded. And it sucks too because I genuinely enjoy that particular meme up until he killed it for me by never not saying it.
Yeah.
Everything. Everything either ends in a got him, or ends in a D's nuts. And I'm like, no, dude. And if it was situationally appropriate,
he did the same thing. He said one time, I was looking for my sunglasses. I'm like, have you seen my sunglasses? Where are they?
And
he
goes, these
no,
nuts.
No. He said, it was a different thing. He said, up your butt and around the corner. And yes. I thought it was hilarious. I laughed so hard because it was appropriate for the time and the mood and the everything. And then he said it 15 more fucking times in the next 2 days.
The laughing is that it's laughing. It's always appropriate and it's always funny. It's like, no, it was just appropriate. And, oh my God, stop it.
You are so 10 years old. Oh my God.
And I've tried explaining to him that rule that my drama teacher explained to me. There's a rule of three. At most, something is funny three times before it becomes worn out. In a certain period
of
time.
You know where you went wrong.
Right.
Do you know where you went wrong?
Yeah. Do you know? Yeah,
exactly. No. Do you, Justin, know where you, Justin, went wrong in raising of your son, Ezra?
Where?
You let him watch Family Guy. Because Family Guy takes the rule of three, crumples up into a little ball, and throws it out the fucking window.
Yeah.
And he was raised on that shit.
Well, he was around when I was watching it when he was younger. Yes, that's true. I can understand
it's
that.
Your fault.
I'll accept it. That's fine.
As long as you're okay with that.
That's fine. As long as you're okay with the fact it's your fault your daughter can't find the hamper.
I own it. I always have.
Yeah, I know.
Since day one, I've been like, if you don't like it, I don't know what to tell you. It's not going to change no matter what I do. That's not going to be a big, you know, thing to me.
Yeah, but I do get my jibes and like, I can't find a shirt. Well, maybe if all your laundry made it to the laundry room, we'd be able to tell what's what. And then you just give me the stink eye and I give you the stink eye back. And then we laugh and we move on. Or sometimes we don't laugh, but you know, it happens. So, but we've already closed up the show, so.
Yeah. Bye.
No. Now, I see. You're fucking it all up.
No.
So, do you have anything else you want to add?
No.
Okay, well then, until next time, trying to find shitty parents. Now you say.
Bye.
There we go.
Thank you for tuning in to another edition of the Bad Parenting Podcast. A conversational show about all aspects of parenting. The good, the bad, and the smelly.
It's all done now. Here it goes.